Would you turn with me to the book of Acts this evening? And let's see if we can talk about Aeneas for the third attempt. If you've been with us for the last previous two Friday nights, we tried to talk about the healing of Aeneas and were redirected, I believe, by the Spirit of the Lord. Two Fridays ago, we talked about heaven. Last Friday, we talked about He's made us rich. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But I don't feel like I'm released from Aeneas. So let's see what tonight holds for Aeneas. If you have not been with us for the last many Friday evenings, we've been teaching on a series called Receiving and Ministering Healing. And we camped for weeks in the four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and took time and looked at each individual healing under the ministry of the Lord Jesus. We looked at 20 individual cases of people healed. And tapes are available if you're interested in those. And particularly if you've been having a battle with sickness and disease, you ought to be interested. Faith comes by hearing. Yeah. And ever how they received healing under Jesus' ministry, that's the way you receive today. It hasn't changed. And the way He ministered then is the way, correct way to minister now. Well, once we completed the 20 in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we began to look in the book of Acts, and we saw that healing continued after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Master. Healing continues. That's good to know. Healing was a big part of the church, the beginning days of the church. Sometimes we talk about the early church. But you know, we're not a part of a different church. We're a part of the same church that we read about in the book of Acts. And we have the same name of Jesus, the same new birth, the same Holy Spirit. And we've got this, we should have the same workings and results and happenings today as they had. Amen. How many of them think if we've got the same gospel, we ought to see the same results? Amen. We've got the same Spirit, we ought to see the same manifestations as we read about in the book of Acts. Amen. It's titled Acts of the Apostles. But that's a title men gave it. And really, there are acts recorded, acts, you might say, of prophets, acts of laity. And really, it's the acts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Through the church. Is He still moving through the church today? Yeah. I believe so. Then we should see the same kind of things, because He is the Lord who does not change, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, we studied about the healing of the lame man at the gate called Beautiful in Acts 3. And we said, wow, it sounds so much like what you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. The healing sounds so much like what you would see in Jesus' ministry. And the reason it is, sounds so much like that, is because it is the ministry of Jesus continuing. Through the church. In Acts 1, why don't you read there first of all, Acts 1, 1. Acts 1, 1. Dr. Luke, whom God used to pen the gospel account of Luke, is used to pen the book of Acts. And he says, verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began. Did you hear that? Yeah. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. What's he referring to? He's referring to what we call the gospel account of Luke. The account of all that Jesus, how he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, all of his preaching and his teaching and his miracles and deliverance and healings. And he said all of that that he wrote about was what Jesus finished? No. What Jesus began, not just began to teach, but began to do and to teach. And then he starts writing the book of Acts. What does that mean? This is a continuation. Right? Of what Jesus began. And how many believe the book of Acts is still being written? Is there still a church? Is there still a Holy Spirit? Is he still manifesting through the church? Then you or I, you and I are in chapter 8 million, whatever. We're in some chapter of the acts of the Holy Spirit through the church. And we should expect the same kind of things to be happening. So we saw the man at the gate called Beautiful, the lame man, wonderfully healed. And then in Acts, the 9th chapter, turn right over there, we see the healing of Aeneas. And though we read it all two previous sessions already, we didn't, to my satisfaction, cover it properly because the Lord led us in other directions. So let's pray tonight. Get in faith. And don't just look at me tonight, and I won't just look at you. Let's look to Him and believe Him for revelation and understanding. And not just knowledge, but the Word made manifest in our flesh and in our lives. And you might think, well, man, I'm healed. I'm doing great. Yeah, but you could use this for somebody else. Right? You should understand how the enemy is. There's two areas of your life that he is every day trying to defeat you in. Your physical health and your financial prosperity. Have you realized that? That he's out to keep you sick and he's out to keep you broke. Because if he can keep you sick enough and broke enough, you're incapacitated. Yep. Right? Yep. Don't have the strength and ability to serve God. Don't have the means wherewith to serve God. But how many believe it's God's will? Just like in the beginning, you know, the Israelites that he brought out of Egyptian bondage are a type for us. Yeah. Amen? And didn't it say he brought them out? Yeah. With silver and with gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribe. Is that typical for us? Do we have any less under the real thing than they did under a type of redemption? Certainly not. Certainly not. So if he provided for them financially and healed them physically, then certainly that belongs to us too and more. Well, in Acts, the 9th chapter, let's pray and then we'll read this about the healing of Aeneas. Father, we thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for our strength and health, ability to be here tonight and to have a place and to have freedom to worship you. Thank you for your holy written word, how precious it is to us. Your words are life to us and health and healing and medicine to all of our flesh. Let it be manifest so tonight. Thank you for your Holy Spirit whom you've sent to indwell us and to be our guide and to be our teacher. We reverence Him. We yield to Him. Give everybody ears to hear and eyes that see and a heart open and receptive. And let the Word of life come into us. Show us things we haven't seen. Remind us of things we've let slip. And bring us up to a higher place. And we purpose not to be hearers only, forgetful hearers, but by your grace, doers. And we know as we do, we shall be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Now listen carefully before I ever start reading this, getting into this, because I know some things in my spirit where we're going tonight. At least I think I do. These words are significant to you personally, but then you'll either know this is pertinent to you as we go through this tonight, or in a very few days or weeks or months, something's going to come up in your life and you're going to need to know this. Did you hear me? That we're going to get into some things that are going to be very, very pertinent to dealing with situations. So don't snooze through this. And if you're, we have our regular people here tonight and we have visitors here tonight. Visitors, you are not here by accident. There's some significant things that should get into your spirit tonight and get you stirred up. And then when some things come up later on, you'll think, I'm ready for this. I'm ready. I know what to do. I've got the Word. I know what to tell them. I know where to lead them. There's certain things you ought to write down tonight, too, in references, because you can take other people through these references and help them. How many understand the word, knowing the word and acting on the word can be, make the difference between living and dying? Living a full life or dying prematurely. Right? Because all things are possible with God and to those that believe. Well, let's read this and you'll see what I'm referring to. Verse 31, Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. How many know the churches, all the churches, every church is supposed to be at rest, not upheaval, right? You're not supposed to feel tense and afraid, and you're supposed to have peace. And how many believe churches are supposed to build up, right? Supposed to grow in every way, right? God's will is edification, building up, increase. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. One preacher said one night, he said, you know, if you'd have been bedfast 8 years, you'd be sick of it too. And I know that's not exactly what he said, what it meant. But you know, you do need to get fed up with stuff. Because as long as you will tolerate it, you're going to have it. Did you hear me? If you say, well, you know, okay, sirrah, sirrah. Whatever will be, will be. We just don't know, you know. Just whatever will be, will be. We'll just see what God wants. Well, no. You have to know what is the will of God and receive it. And you have to know what is the enemy and resist that. Right? You're not supposed to be just receiving everything that comes down the pike. If it's not from God, don't receive it. How would you know that it's not from God? Well, he is light, and in him is no darkness. He's life. He's good. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from him. Amen. And there's no turning or changing with him. He doesn't change from being good and start being bad. Well, what if it's stealing and killing and destroying? Didn't Jesus say that's the enemy? That's the thief? That's what you ought to resist. If it tries to steal from your life or kill or hurt you and harm you and take from you, resist that. Resist it. Don't just say, well, whatever. No, resist it. Resist it. Sick of the palsy. Sometimes, you know, I know exactly when a major turn came in Phyllis's in my life financially. It's when I got sick of being broke. Amen. I remember the day when I came in late one afternoon and I went into the bedroom by myself and I shut the door and fell across the bed in our little house and I said, God, this is not right. I mean, we were so broke and behind, not only, you know, barely making it. You ever felt like you was half a nostril above water? I mean, just a little bit more and you're going under. You want to give in the offering and you got nothing. You want to do something that just cost a little bit of money and you just got nothing. Broke. How many understand poverty is bondage? Isn't it? It's bondage. You know, there are people on the planet starving to death, literally to death, for lack of enough decent food to keep the human body alive. You know what that is? Poverty. Isn't that right? Poverty. Lack. Is that good or bad?
Bad.
Terrible bad. Well, if that degree of it's bad, what about lesser degrees of the same thing? Maybe you got enough food to keep you alive, but not enough money to pay your bills. You understand what I'm talking about? It's the same stuff. It's from the same source. If the devil had his way, you'd not only be short paying your bills, you wouldn't have enough food to eat. If he had his way about it. Oh, but if God's will was completely done, everybody'd have plenty to eat, plenty to wear, good place to live, plenty of money. How many believe there's enough resources on this planet for every man, woman, and child to be rich? Certainly. It's the devil and deception, selfishness, ignorance, and confusion that has caused the result of the other. Well, I got sick of being broke, so to speak. I mean, I just thought, God, I've had it with this. And I know it's not your fault. Show me. Teach me. Help me. What I don't know, show me. What I've let slip, remind me. If you can hook me up with other people that know more about it than I do to show me, please. And I'm telling you what, he heard my prayer. And it seemed like for the next 5 years, every day he was talking to me about that subject and giving me light and showing me. And we didn't just come out overnight, but friend, week after week we begin to come up, and month after month and year after year, till we got to the place we're writing checks to put in the offering that was more than we used to make in a year. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Would he do that for everybody? Absolutely. Absolutely. But you got to be fed up and get, you know, so to speak, sick. I don't like using that word so much, but you know what I'm talking about. Sick of being broke. Yeah. Fed up with being broke. Yeah. You going to live all your life broke?
No.
When you don't have to?
No.
Well, we're on a fixed income, brother. Only because you say so.
Yeah.
No. We talked about that last week. If you weren't here, you might want to get the tape and become convinced that God has made you rich. But he was sick of the palsy. And Peter, verse 34, Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Don't you like that phrase? Oh, man, I like that. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise, get up, and make your bed. And he arose immediately. How many believe it happened just like this? Is this miraculous that he got up like this? He's been bedfast 8 years. What happened? What happened to him? Well, what did Peter say? What happened to him? Jesus Christ makes you whole. Jesus Christ means the anointed one. Jesus, the Messiah, the sent one, the Savior, the anointed one makes you whole. Wonder if he still makes you whole. Oh, hallelujah. We could shout the rest of the night on this one verse right here. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Did you know that alone would get you healed? If you just put that in your mouth and put that in your ears till it filled up your heart, you just went around night and day saying, Jesus Christ makes me whole. Jesus Christ makes me whole. Instead of going around saying, well, I don't know if it's his will or not. Hear what I'm saying? Well, we'll have to see what the report says. We'll have to see how the tests come back. I don't know. Y'all pray. No, don't have that in your mouth. Have this in your mouth. Jesus Christ makes me whole. Everybody said out loud, Jesus Christ makes me whole. Would it be okay to say scriptures? Somebody said, well, you just went down to there, that Faith Life Church, and got to saying that because you was hanging around them. Forget us. What about this? This is B-I-B-L-E. Would it be all right to put some Bible in your mouth? And to go around saying, Jesus Christ makes me whole. People say, yeah, but now that was for Aeneas. That may not be for you. You're saying the Bible may not be for me? What are you saying? Well, if it's not, may not be for me, how am I going to find out? How am I going to find out if it's for me or not? People say, well, if you're healed, then it was for you. And if you don't get healed, then obviously it wasn't. Wow. What a way to live. What if the sinner said that? What if the sinner says, well, how am I going to know if it's God's will to save me or not? Well, if you're saved, then you know it was his will. And if you're not, then you know it wasn't his will for you to be saved. That's a lie. I said, that's a lie. It's not His will that any should perish. But people have to hear it, right? They have to believe it, right? And they have to receive it. And not only receive it in their hearts and believe salvation's been provided, but confess with their mouth that Jesus is their Lord. We know that concerning the new birth. Why do people get dumb when it comes to other things and not realize it works exactly the same way? You've confessed Jesus as your Savior. Why not confess Him as your healer? Yes. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ saves me. Praise God. Well, Jesus Christ delivers me. Jesus Christ provides for me. Amen. Jesus Christ protects me. Yes. And Jesus Christ heals me. Yes. I'm telling you, you get this in your spirit, wonderful things will happen in your body. He heals me. Amen. Just go around all the time and say, He heals me. He heals me. Amen. Your head will say, you've already said that 40 times. They say, shut up, head. He heals me. Because it's not, you don't believe God with your head. It's with your spirit. And faith comes by not just hearing one time. Comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Got to keep hearing the same thing. Jesus Christ heals me. Say it out loud with me. Jesus Christ heals me. Say it again. Jesus Christ heals me. Say it again. Jesus Christ heals me. I had the privilege of working with Dr. Kenneth Hagin in the healing school there at the Kenneth Hagin Ministries for a number of years. And there were times, some afternoons, the Lord would lead us. I'd just take them over to Exodus where it talks about, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And we'd just sit down. And I'd read it, and I'd say, now you read it. And we'd just sit there and say, sometimes for 40 minutes at a time, you are the Lord who heals me. You are the Lord who heals me. See, so many times people, you know, you can tell what they're full of because you ask them a question and they tell you all the Latin names for their physical condition and all the experimental drugs. They can talk to you for 3 hours about it. But you ask them about the scriptures and Bible, well, What about Job? You understand what I'm talking about? Well, what about Paul's thorn in the flesh? That's all they know about healing, which is less than nothing. I mean, I'm saying, that it's less than nothing. Because you got to get over your misconceptions about Job and Paul to even begin to learn about the will of God. Isn't it a sad thing that many Christians have more faith in Paul's thorn in the flesh than they do in Jesus' stripes? Amen. Don't even know what the thorn in the flesh was. Pitifully ignorant. But see, the devil thrives on darkness and ignorance. Yeah. What about Job? What about him? You ever read Job?
Yeah.
Hmm? Historians tell us, you know, and scholars tell us that they think that the whole ordeal of Job happened in about 8 months. He had a bad year. I said he had a rough year. But how did it turn out? Did you read the end of the book? Job got healed. How is it that people miss that? Has anybody read Job besides me? 42nd chapter of Job? Job got healed. How do people miss that? Job got healed. Well, that's another story. But how many understand Job got healed? Somebody said, I guess I'm just like Job. Well, praise God. That means you're about to get healed and get twice as much as you ever had. Right? If you're like Job. People have been attacked. They've had rough years. They've had rough times. But how many understand? If you stand and you won't give up and you won't quit, that He will always cause you to triumph. Amen. If you won't get weary in well doing, you shall reap. That's in every good area. Well, He said, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Get up, rise, make your bed. And He arose. immediately, and all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Bless some people's hearts that talk about, they needed healings. Jesus needed healings and miracles to prove he was the Son of God. And the apostles, they needed miracles to get the church started and going, but all that's passed away. And when the last apostle died, all that ceased. I mean, people believe that like it's Bible, but nowhere is that in the scriptures. There's no scripture to back any of that up. But friend, how can we say that we don't require this or need this anymore when one healing caused two whole cities to turn to God?
Amen.
Are we saying we've got something better than that to reach the lost? No, friend. One individual said, healing is the dinner bell. And it is. When people see that God, the God that they've heard wrong things about, they see Him actually heal somebody and raise people up, they think, whoa, I want a God like that. A God that'll heal you. God that'll pay your bills. God that'll protect you. I want a God like that. And the goodness of God leads people to repentance. You know what repent means? To repent. It means to turn. And convert means to turn. And did you notice the language here? What does it say? These people in these towns, they what? They heard about this, and they knew about this, and they what? They turned to the Lord. Everybody say turned. Turned. The goodness of God, the goodness of the Lord, leads people to repentance or to turning. Turning their lives around. I can see the wisdom of God in Him leading us to give testimony about all the good things that God has done on a continuous basis. People hear about that. Amen. And it'll help them to turn to God. And this whole passage has to do with the idea. I didn't always see this, but I see it clearer today than I have before. It has to do with the concept of turning. Turning. I want you to go back with me to the 41st Psalm, please. Psalm 41. Is there healing in the Psalms?
Yes.
Are you tight on time tonight, or do you have a little extra time? Because I'd like to expand this just a little bit. Let's go through the Psalms a little bit and get healing in the Psalms. Would that be okay with you? Because there's a couple of passages that specifically go with this healing of Aeneas. But there's some other things I think it'd do you good, and I think it'd do you good to have it in your notes. Because I think there can be some things in the near future where you'll be glad you know this, and you'll sit down with somebody else.
Amen.
And you'll read to them these scriptures out of Psalms. So take notes on the references, or just mark them in your Bible. You can put your big H by the verse, which means healing. And then, if you got it marked like that, you can just turn from page to page and find the H. And people will think you're so smart because you... How do they remember all the verses? Well, you got them marked. But let's go to Psalm 6, first of all. We'll work our way up to 41. Is that okay? Psalm 6. Has the Lord always been a healer?
Yes.
Is He a healer today?
Yes.
The healer. Will He be the healer tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. In Psalm 6, verse 2. Psalm 6. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, if it be Thy will. Well, why do people always add that then? Would it be all right to pray this exactly as written in the Bible? Without adding the "if it be thy will"? How could he pray so bold? "Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." Well, yeah, but what if it's not God's will? Did he not take that into consideration? Or did he know something that some people don't know today? That it's always his will. Just like it's his will to save. "Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is sore vexed. But thou, O Lord," how long? "Return." Did you hear that? What? "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there's no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" You don't hear much thanksgiving out in the cemetery. "I'm weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. My eyes consume because of grief. It waxes old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping, and the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer." What prayer? Heal me. "Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return, hear the word, and be ashamed suddenly." There's a prayer for healing without "and if it be thy will." Go to the 30th chapter, please. Keep in mind that phrase "turn and return," because you're going to see how it fits further in just another passage or two. Psalm 30 and verse 1. "I will extol thee, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you, and you told me it wasn't time." Huh? It wasn't your will for me to be healed. Now see, friend, you might say, why do you keep saying that? Because millions of Christians' faith is robbed by believing those things. You cannot have faith for healing if you're not convinced that it's God's will to heal you. Now, what do you say? "I cried to you." And what? "And you healed me." Can anybody hold up your hand tonight and say you did that? You called out to him? And you asked him to? And he healed you. Leave your hands up. Everybody, look around. See all these hands? Look at these hands. These are living witnesses in here tonight telling you, "I did this. And he did this to me." Look at this. I got my hand up too. Hallelujah. "Oh Lord, you've brought up my soul from the grave. You've kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit." Now you're listening with your heart tonight, right? There may be some people in here tonight. And if not you, there's some people that you know, are some people you're going to run across in the near future, that they are going to be told that they have to die now. And it's not time for them to die. Did you hear me? And they're too young to die, and they don't have to die with one of the devil's stinking diseases. Did you hear me? But they're not hearing this where they go to church. And they haven't been getting this in their so-called religious background. But they're going to come across you. And you're going to come across them. Amen. 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 And there are going to be some opportunities for you to sit down with them and read scriptures like these. And tell them, "Well, yeah, but what about the Bible? Amen. What about this? Would it be all right for you to pray this right out of the Bible?" Yeah. Amen. You tell them that. Keep reading. He said, "Lord, you brought up my soul from the grave." That means they had gone down to death's door. But he brought them back. He returned them. Did you hear that? Keep watching. You'll see that language come up in the near future here. "You've kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, you saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endures but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, But joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Job knows that song, don't he? I said, Brother Job knows that tune. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you've made my mountain to stand strong. You did hide your face, and I was troubled. And I cried to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise you? Shall it declare thy truth? How many understand there's no benefit to God in us dying early? No benefit to God. None. I mean, here's where the action is. Here's where we can be a witness and get people saved. Amen. Here's where we can be a blessing to others. Life is short enough as it is. If you live to be over 100, that's nothing. It's here. It's gone. We ought to fight to live our full term. Did you hear me? And there are times when you'll have to, because the devil will try to take you out early. I mean, his perfect will for you, you've already missed. You missed the devil's perfect will. What was that? What was his perfect will? For you to die lost and spend eternity in hell with him. That was his perfect will for your life. You've already missed that. Glory to God. Well, his acceptable will, then if you're not going to hell with him, his acceptable will is that you go to heaven. Now. And that you don't live another day on this earth to be a witness for the Lord or do any good works. So he'll try to take you out with, you know, some of his favorite tools of choice or disease to take you out early. But do you have a right to long life? Do you have a right to believe God and live and stand? Could you come off the bed even if you had been bedfast for 8 years and were at death's door? Could you still come up? Could you come off that bed? Could you finish your life? If you were given up by medical science, if you'd been incapacitated for 18 years, like the woman bent over, remember that? 12 years with a hemorrhage nobody could fix, like the woman with the issue of blood. Could you get turned around? Could you come back to health? Could you live out a full length of days anyway? Yeah. If you can believe. If you can believe in miracles. If you can believe in healing. Oh, hallelujah. Keep reading. Where'd we stop? 9. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise you? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me, Lord. Be my helper. What do you think the Lord says to a prayer like that? He wouldn't inspire it and have it recorded in the Bible for all time and it not be his will for us to pray just like this. Notice, completely void of any if it be thy wills. Someone says, yeah, but now, Brother Keith, that's how Jesus prayed in the garden. They were not having a healing meeting in the garden. They weren't praying for the sick and it had nothing to do with healing in the garden. And there are times when you and I need to consecrate ourselves to the will of God and look at things we might not want to go through. You know, persecution for serving Him and going places or doing things or staying in situations to serve Him. And sometimes your flesh is not wanting to do it, but you say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. But you don't teach people coming to get saved to pray that. Lord, save me if it be thy will. And it's just as unscriptural to teach people when praying for healing to pray if it be thy will. Now, I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I've done it. I did it for years. Grew up thinking wrong. I used to go with my pastor, late teens, go with him and visit people in the hospital. And we'd go and kneel down beside people's bedside. And he'd pray. I'm not knocking him at all. Good man, love God. But he'd say, Lord, strengthen our dear brother or sister for whatever the future holds. And strengthen the family because the doctors told them they're going to die. And if it be thy will to heal our dear sister, then we ask it if it be thy will. And if not, then thy will be done, and help us to accept the things we cannot change, and you know. But analyze what we're praying. Analyze what we're praying when people pray. And you understand, I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. I'm not calling any denominational names or anything. Millions of people pray like this. Yes. Right? Yes. And we're not knocking people. A lot of times people mean well. They got a good heart. They just are thinking wrong. How many of you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong? Yes. But analyze what you're praying. Basically, they're saying, Lord, we know, we believe that nothing happens except you do it, and nothing's going to happen unless it's your will, and if it's not your will, it's not going to happen. And so, if it's your will, heal them. Of course, if it was your will to heal them, you're going to heal them anyway, because you're going to do what you're going to do. And if it's not your will to heal them, then they're going to die. But if it was your will for them to die, they were going to die anyway. In other words, you're going to do what you're going to do, no matter what. In other words, why are we praying? Right? Because you're going to do what you're going to do. Are you going to tell me that God has decided for them to die? And you're going to talk him out of it. You're going to talk him into doing something it's not his will to do? Friend, you don't have to talk God into healing. It was his idea. Before you were ever born. I said, before you were ever born. He not only put your sins and your iniquities on the Lord Jesus, he took your sicknesses. He carried and bore your pains. Amen. Healing is his idea, his plan. You don't have to talk him into it. It's his will. And that is the beginning of faith. So we ought not pray for healing with the faith-destroying phrase, if it be thy will. Any more than you'd pray for somebody to get born again with an if it be thy will. The Bible said in Ephesians, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Having fun? You okay?
Yeah.
Got mighty quiet right there. You're like. Let's finish reading this. Verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. No, if it be thy will, just hear me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Help me. Reckon, did he hear it?
Yeah.
Reckon, did he do it?
Yeah.
Sure sounds like it in the next verse. You have what?
Turned
it around. Turn for me my mourning into dancing. You put off my sackcloth, girded me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Sound like God heard their prayer. Sound like they got healed. Sound like they didn't die early and prematurely. Amen. Glory to God. You like this?
Yeah.
Well, I do. I never get tired of it. Never get tired of being healed either. I like being healed. People say, well, I don't believe it. I would believe it just for myself. You understand? Because I enjoy it. I like being healed. I like going decade after decade and just being healthy. I really enjoy it. Somebody said, oh, you better watch out. For what? What should I watch out for? What? God? God's going to get mad by me saying, thank you for keeping me healed and make me sick to teach me something? I don't think so. The devil. You better watch out. You get too sassy, the devil will take you down a few notches. Listen. I am not afraid of the devil. He's afraid of me.